You're listening to Vatican Radio.
As Pope Francis prepares to visit the Greek island of Lesbos, one of the gateways of Europe for hundreds of thousands of people fleeing conflict, we take a look at the current conditions forced migrants and refugees are faced with as they attempt to reach their final destinations. The situation in Lesbos is highly charged as a recent deal between the EU and Ankara directly affects the refugees and migrants on the island. According to that deal, migrants arriving in Greece are to be sent back to Turkey if they do not apply for asylum or if their claim is rejected. The deal also says that for every Syrian migrant sent back to Turkey, one Syrian already in Turkey will be resettled in the EU. Apart from the dramatic situation in the main refugee centre on the island, the Moria camp, which Pope Francis will visit, rights organisations are raising doubts as to whether Turkey really can offer the protection that many of these migrants need, and whether the European Union is living up to its own core values on human rights. I spoke to Mark Provera, Jesuit Refugee Service Europe's Policy and Advocacy Officer, to find out more about the situation. Following the recent agreement between the EU and Turkey, what is the situation, refugees and migrants arriving on Lesbos Island? What kind of situation do they find themselves in?
Jairus, Europe is in contact with our office in Athens, and we can say that we see many forced migrants in a very vulnerable position. The recent agreement between Brussels and Ankara is an extremely unjust one. This is not about protection, it's about deterrence. And it consists of really two core elements, and that is that forced migrants seeking protection, fleeing violence in their own country, when they reach the Greek islands, quickly assessed, and then with a view to having them returned back to Turkey. The second aspect is that for every Syrian returned to Turkey from Greece, another completely different Syrian will be admitted to an EU member state, which has been called the one-for-one deal. Now, the one-for-one scheme is perverse in that it still relies on one Syrian risking their life and making the journey from Turkey to Greece in order for another completely different Syrian to be resettled in the EU. So claims that this scheme saves lives ring hollow, given that it's based on forced migrants actually engaging in the very risk that this deal purports to avoid.
It sounds like it's in absolute violation of international humanitarian law.
I think there's a very strong chance that it is. It is an absolute turning point in the way that states deal with people seeking protection. It is contrary to international law on the non-refoulement of refugees seeking protection. And I think that once we're getting to the stage of having to unpick international EU and European law, if we keep going down this route, how do we really expect to justly regulate our relations with one another?
Notwithstanding, I assume that most of these forced refugees, forced migrants, know about the agreement. They are still arriving on the island, which says a lot about where they're coming from, right?
That's correct, Linda. I think that what it is a clear sign that the protection needs of forced migrants are incredibly great, and that even this scheme, even though it should not deter people, cannot deter people from seeking protection from violence and conflict that they experience in their home countries. To me, to JRS Europe, it's a clear indication that forced migrants maintain hope of finding protection, of finding safety, and also to seek community.
I would think that the last thing they would expect is to be hoarded into some kind of detention centre, which is what I understand is happening at the moment at the big Moria centre, which has become completely militarised. Do you know what the situation there is?
We understand that formerly open centres, which have been called hotspots in European policy language, have now been transformed into detention centres. This is particularly troubling because we see detention as a very much a last resort, but more so because of the profile of forced migrants who are reaching the Greek island. The statistics show a large number of adults with their families, a high proportion of women and children, and in these circumstances, with this profile, this is entirely inappropriate reception conditions for people to be held in and to be detained in. It is no way to treat vulnerable people who are seeking protection.
What new policies or new laws, regulations would JRS like to see implemented at this point?
Well, Linda, European governments need to rethink not only the legality of this deal, but they need to commit to honouring their international and their moral obligations to protect some of the most vulnerable people in the world. We would like to see, firstly, that all asylum seekers arriving on EU territory have full and proper access to the asylum procedure, and that their claims are assessed properly in accordance with international and European law. The second thing is that we have been saying for a number of years now that we need to use a full complement of ways to ensure that people can reach European territory safely in order to make their claim for asylum. For example, that a greater use of resettlement and humanitarian admission, a greater use of family reunification instruments, the use of humanitarian visas, and allowing people to obtain visas to arrive on EU territory, and finally to consider the prospect of private sponsorship.
So the current laws need to be at least upgraded, if not changed, right?
In some circumstances, yes, but in other circumstances, there are already existing instruments which could be used and which member states are at liberty to implement themselves. So there is, in some cases, little impediment for member states to move forward with some of these actions. We have already seen the great work of the community of Sant'Egidio in promoting the use of humanitarian visas with Italy and with great success. So we hope to see more European governments take this sort of comprehensive approach to using the full range of possibilities for people to seek protection in the European Union.
Mark, you were saying that JRS welcomes Pope Francis's visit. What kind of an impact do you hope it may have, apart, of course, from highlighting the plight of these people?
I think, Linda, that what we see from JRS Europe's perspective is that the focus needs to be on the human person, and the Pope's visit very much highlights that. By bartering people as mere numbers, we forget that there are individual people involved in very perilous and vulnerable situations. We forget that why people are leaving protection and why they are leaving their countries in order to seek protection in Europe. So we hope that the Pope's visit will highlight very much the personal circumstances and that people find themselves in.
That was Mark Provera, JRS Europe's Policy and Advocacy Officer.